Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now really we want to flow on from what God was doing last Sunday. For those of you who were here, remember, He was encouraging our faith as some of those testimony cards indicated, and showing us that when we hear the word, whether we're reading it, whether somebody's speaking it to us, whether we're hearing it preached, whatever, there's a great yes inside of us. That Jesus is the yes and the amen to all the promises of God. That affirmation is actually Jesus in you. It's actually Christ in you. It's actually the Spirit of God witnessing to the truth of the Word of God. Nothing is more powerful than the Word and the Spirit operating together within our lives. And Jesus promised that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Well, most of us, nearly all of us in this room, have received the Holy Spirit, so we have the power of God. It isn't that we lack the power. What we need to do is to learn how to use the power and to see the release of that power. Now, of course, that only happens when faith is operating. But faith is expressed in authority. So you find in Scripture that these two words of authority and power belong together. They're like two sides of a coin. When with faith we exercise the authority that we're given, we see the release of the power that we're given. So to see the release of that authority is very, very important. Now, Paul is talking here, as he does in other places too, which we'll look at later. In chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. True, we live in this world, but we do not fight our battles as people who belong to the world. We have other weapons to fight with, not those of the world. By contrast, our weapons have God's power that shatters the enemy's strongholds that oppose us. The word that's used there means to break up, to smash up into little pieces, so it can't be put together again. So God's power that shatters the enemy's strongholds that oppose us. Who wants everything that opposes you to be shattered this morning? Well, you've come to the right place at the right time. With the weapon of truth, we demolish rational arguments that oppose the walk of faith. Reason is your thinking. Faith is agreeing with God's thinking. We have the answer to every false way of thinking that seeks to undermine the truth about God. We exercise authority in the way we think. Now, this is where the exercise of your authority has to begin. In your mind. What you allow in your mind. We exercise authority in the way we think, denying negative and rebellious thoughts and accepting only those that glorify Jesus so that we might obey Him. We can't think one way and act another. That in Scripture is hypocrisy, isn't it? No, God wants us to get our thinking right, our minds are renewed so we know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Then what we say and what we do will be right. If our thinking is full of faith, then our actions will be full of faith. If we have victory in our thinking, we'll have victory in our circumstances. But if you're living in defeat in your thinking, then how are you going to get victory in your circumstances? It's pretty obvious, really, isn't it? But we must be prepared to punish those who refuse to obey, so that as a church we might be united in obedience. I was amazed when I was translating that, because it was a thought that really never had sort of impacted me, because I don't think I've ever punished anybody for not obeying. But this is what Paul says. It is so important that as the body of Christ, we are walking by faith and we're walking by obedience, in obedience. Because not only does our health and well-being depend upon that, but so does the health and the well-being of the whole body. Amen? It's not that God is calling us to judge one another or anything like that, but what he's really saying is it's so important that the leadership in a church really is doing everything possible to ensure that people are living by faith and in obedience. So Paul goes on and says, you look at things superficially. If you are assured that you belong to Christ, you must remember that we also belong to him in just the same way. I do not hide the truth. The Lord gave us his authority to encourage you and build up the church, not to discourage or destroy you. I refuse to be ashamed of the authority he has given me. Now there, of course, Paul is talking about his apostolic authority. But he's actually also enunciating a spiritual principle, which is true for all of us, for every believer. We must not be ashamed of our authority. We must be confident about the authority that we have. Because if we're not confident about that authority, we won't exercise that authority. Amen? I want you for a moment to just use your holy imagination to try to think of things that actually are way beyond our understanding, but as far as we can grasp from Scripture. We're in heaven, and we're in the mind of God himself. Now, he created everything to be in unity and harmony with himself. Everything that he made was good. He looked at it and said, that's good. The problem began in heaven. There, the whole heavenly host worships him continuously. And there was an angel, chief angel, an archangel, that was in charge of the worship. He was the one that was leading the heavenly host in worship of God. And his name was Lucifer. And he got it into his angelic mind that instead of leading the whole host to worship God, that he should be as God himself. And therefore, he also should be worshipped, because after all, he was the chief of the angels. Now, Jesus said, he saw Satan fall like lightning. A flash of light. Now, a flash of lightning is followed by thunder. And thunder in Scripture is quite interesting, because it often speaks of the voice of God, especially when he speaks in judgment. Now, that doesn't mean that every time there is a thunderstorm, God is having a bad day. And, you know, he's speaking judgment. It's just that the voice of God is likened to thunder. It speaks of the presence of God and the voice of God speaking to his people. But before that voice of judgment, there was this flash of lightning. There was Lucifer being cast out of heaven. And from what we can discerned from the scriptures. He was given leave to go to and fro across the face of the earth. Now, he can't be everywhere at one time. He's not like God. God is everywhere present, but Lucifer isn't. He's just a spiritual being. But he was given leave to go to and fro across the earth. Now, why should God have done that? And the scripture tells us to test the hearts of people. Why? Because Lucifer's argument was this. All these angelic beings only worship you because you made them to worship you. And all these people on earth that you made in your image only walk in fellowship with you because that's how you made them in your image. They only love you because you made them to love you. Now, you see, if you love, then you have the capacity to hate or to fail to love or to refuse to love. You have free will. You have the ability to make decisions and choices. So God said, okay, you have leave to go across the face of the earth and to test the heart of every living person to see who truly loves me. Now, God was doing what for us would seem a dangerous thing, because God could see the end from the beginning, so he knew what was going to happen. He knew that man was going to choose what Lucifer had chosen in heaven, to place himself at the center instead of God. So actually, God knew that the whole of mankind was going to fall into sin. Adam, the word means man. Mankind was going to fall into sin. All would fall short of the glory of God for which he created them. Are you all with me? Now, of course, again, if we're back in heaven in God's thinking, why should he do such a dangerous thing as this? Knowing that everybody was going to be impacted by sin and fall from his grace. Well, because he already had his plan as to how to undo that. And, you know, this seems at first like a bit of a divine game that he is playing with mankind. But actually, what God was doing was saying, no, I'm going to actually raise mankind higher than he is now in fellowship with me on earth. I'm going to actually make them sons. But to make them sons, to make them higher than they are now, I'm going to have to send my son to overcome and undo all the work that Lucifer, who became Satan, has accomplished in their lives. So we know the scenario. We know what happened. We know Jesus came. We know that he lived the perfect life here on earth, sharing our weakness, tempted in every way just as we are, yet he was without sin. And so on the cross he offered the perfect sacrifice on behalf of all of our sin. Through that, we were forgiven, made acceptable to God. We were actually, the scripture says, made perfect in God's sight. We became a new creation, and he imparted his spirit to us so that now we can live as the sons of God here on earth and live and reign with him in his glory for all eternity after that. That's higher ever than Adam and Eve were. So, you know, God has used that work of the enemy to actually actually eventually raise us to a higher place. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, from the moment that we receive the salvation of God, the forgiveness, his acceptance, we're made holy, righteous, perfect in his sight, when you're born again and first become a believer, and the time that you die physically and go to be with the Lord, during that time, it is essential how we live in relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of the key things about that period of time is that we are overcoming the enemy. Jesus defeated him for us. Jesus made us new. Jesus gave us his kingdom. And that means he gave us the authority of his sovereign rule and reign, which includes his authority over the enemy. And he says, right now, my purpose is that one day you will share in the perfect manifestation of my kingdom when everything will be under my feet and there will be nothing that opposes me. But until that time, you have to live the life of my kingdom here on earth. And you have to exercise your faith and your authority over all the power of the evil one so that he cannot harm you, so that he cannot damage you. Because, you see, what God says is while you're on the earth, he has still been given leave to go to and fro over the earth, so he still has the ability to attack you. And what Jesus says is this: if he came against me, he'll come against you. That whatever happened to me will happen to you. Now, it's not just a question of, you know, having some demonic problem. There are all kinds of ways in which the enemy comes against us. Those few of you who were at the prayer meeting this morning, he said, we were praying about the peace of God. One of the things the enemy wants to do is to undermine the peace. He doesn't want us to have peace with God. Why? Because he doesn't have any peace with God. He is under eternal condemnation. And when Jesus comes again, that sentence that has been passed upon him will be executed. And he will be cast into the abyss. And that will be the end of him. Hallelujah, praise God, glory, amen. But until then, we have the authority to overcome him and all his works. So how does he come against you? Well, he wants to destroy your peace. Now, how does he do that? Well, he destroys your peace by getting you to look at yourself instead of Jesus. It's not very difficult to get people to lose their peace if they look at themselves, their feelings, their fears, their circumstances, their doubts. You see, the enemy likes to create negative situations and then accuse us, because he's the accuser of the brethren. He says, look, how can God love you if he's allowed that to happen to you? And he's a nasty bit of work, but you see, he's the deceiver. So he comes against you with accusation. Why? Because he wants to make you feel guilty. Now, Jesus dealt with all the guilt on the cross. Amen. So if we are walking in righteousness, then we're not going to experience guilt. But if we do anything wrong, then yes, the Holy Spirit will convict us. We will feel guilty, but not condemned. What does the enemy try to do? He tries to make us feel condemned for the guilt we feel. But we say, no, God only makes me feel guilty so that I immediately turn to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And all the guilt is removed and there's no condemnation for me. Hallelujah. Are we getting this? So he can come against us in oppression or depression. You know, where you feel that you're in a cage, in a box, when you're stifled, you feel you have no freedom. You feel restrained. And what Jesus did on the cross was to break all the restraints of the enemy. So God doesn't want us to feel restrained. He doesn't want us to feel oppressed. He has given us the authority over all oppression of the enemy. He has given us authority so that we do not get depressed because of oppression. The enemy can come against us in sickness. Now, that doesn't mean that every sickness is the result of people having a demonic attack upon their lives. You know, when Jesus healed people, sometimes he cast a demon out of people when they're sick. But not always. That wasn't usually the case. It was just the case in certain instances. But you could say that all the work of sickness is the work of the enemy. It's one of the ways in which he attacks. God did not create us for sickness. He created us for health, for wholeness, for well-being, for holiness. All those words go together. So God's plan for your life was never sickness. God's plan for your life was peace, wholeness, joy, freedom, health. Now, you see, when those things are lacking in our lives, we can look to the Lord and we can pray and say, oh, God, do this and God, heal that and God. But he says, well, yeah. But wait a minute. What about exercising the authority that I've given you? I've won the victory, but you need to exercise the authority of that victory. Now, what's God saying and doing at present in Kingdom Faith? Well, the word that he was speaking to us at camp and since is that his kingdom is going to advance. Now, God is supernatural. Hello? God is spirit. He is a supernatural spirit. He is the person, but he's supernatural. He is above the natural. His kingdom, the scripture is very clear, is therefore a supernatural kingdom. Which is why Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not like the kingdoms of this world. It's not a natural kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom. And Jesus said to the disciples, fear not, little flock. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom isn't over here or over there. It's not a place. But the kingdom of God is within you. Which means the supernatural authority and power of God's kingdom is within you. Now, how do you exercise rule and reign? Well, you issue decrees. You issue commands. So how do you exercise the authority that God has given you? You issue commands. Now, it's not for you to command God. It's for God to command you. But you can command anything that is beneath you. Now, conversion, salvation, brought about a radical change. Until you were born again, you are under, the scripture is clear, you are under the dominion of Satan and he was your father. You might not have realized that, but that was the case. But when you were born again, Satan was placed beneath your feet. So from being under his control, he is now under your control. But you have to exercise your authority to keep him in his place. You can't kill Satan. You can't stop him having the leave that God has given him to go to and fro over the face of the earth. But as he tests you now, not as an unbeliever, but as a believer, you are going to triumph in the test. the testing of your faith proves it's genuine. So Paul is saying, I'm not going to be ashamed of the authority that God has given me. Okay, he's speaking there about his apostolic authority. But you see, in what he's saying to the Corinthians about having these spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, he's saying, you too need to have confidence in your authority that you have. Not be ashamed of it, not to be quiet about it, not to be mousy about it. But to be bold. Yes. Now, why was the enemy given leave to go to and fro over the face of the earth? To test the hearts of men. You see, every time the enemy comes against you in temptation, you're being tested. Every time he comes against you in sickness, your faith is being tested. Every time there's an attack of oppression, your faith is being tested. Every time there's rejection, your faith is being tested. Every time the enemy accuses you, your faith is being tested. Now, you don't have to like that. I'm afraid there's no way of avoiding it. This is the reality of what is happening. You are being tested. Now, God has equipped you by His Spirit, by putting His kingdom within you, to enable you to overcome all the testing. Now, sometimes, that's a simple matter, sometimes Jesus says it requires perseverance. But perseverance will always finish its task, the scripture says. It's the perseverance of faith. That it's not just a question of saying, I exercise authority now in the name of Jesus. Now, sometimes that's what you have to do, especially if it's just demons around, because they're easy to deal with. But it's these other ways, you see, and the real problem is here in the mind. So what we need, first of all, is a victory mindset. An overcoming mindset. We read in Revelation 2 and 3 when the Spirit of God is speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor. At the end of every one, it says, He who overcomes will receive the crown of life, will or receive all the wonderful promises of the paradise of God. Why? Because, you see, by the time we end our lives, God will have made us overcomers. A saved person is to be an overcomer. To be victorious. I put victorious in this translation. He who is victorious will receive all this wonderful inheritance. Now, of course, we couldn't overcome unless there were things to overcome. And because God's purpose was not just to leave us here on earth in a place of conflict, but to raise us to live and rule and reign with Him for all eternity, then He had to give us the means to overcome. Are you breathing?
Yes.
Right. Now, what is this overcoming mindset? What does it look like? It's principle It's principally expressed in determination. You know what the right answer is, and you won't accept anything other than the right answer. Right. Now, the kingdom is going to advance, right? The kingdom is supernatural, right? So it can only advance supernaturally. You can talk about the kingdom, and it won't advance. You can preach about the kingdom and it won't advance. But it will only advance through the power of God being released. So, who lays hold of it? Forceful people. What does that mean? Determined people. It doesn't mean people, you know, that are forceful in their own strength, but people that have that determination of spirit. Now, this determination has got many enemies. The first enemy is your reason. That's why Paul says in this passage that we read, with the weapon of truth, we demolish rational arguments that oppose the walk of faith. You see, it's not rational to say, I have an authority and a power to overcome the enemy. Because the reason can't deal with the supernatural. Hello? The reason is dealing with the natural all the time. So what God does supernaturally is always beyond reason. Takes us beyond our natural thinking. So a believer doesn't have a small mind. You know, I've had discussions sometimes with non-believers, and they say, oh, well, if you talk about faith, you're just small-minded. So I said, no. A person of faith is big-minded because he believes the supernatural, not just the natural. He's not confined by the natural. He thinks supernaturally. He thinks expansively. He thinks faith. He thinks God. He thinks God's power. He thinks what God can do in the situation. So he has a bigger mind. The only way to get a big mind like that is by faith in God. Yes. So the more your faith, the bigger your mind. The bigger your expectations, the bigger your thinking. Are you there? So Paul says, these spiritual weapons we have, they're mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of wrong thinking, of limited thinking, of rational thinking. Now, it's not just a question of saying, right, I'm going to exercise authority over my thoughts. Something more than that has to happen, because faith has to be built up. And how does faith get built up? By hearing the Word of God. You see, you can't extend the kingdom through methods. There's a lot of books being written about methodology at present. You know, you do this, this, and this, and this, and that will happen. Well, the kingdom of God is only going to advance in the way that Jesus says it will advance. In the way the Word of God says it will advance. You can build churches of people meeting together and having services without the kingdom advancing. But we're talking about the sovereign rule and reign of God advancing in our lives, in this city, in the nation, among the nations. And that can only happen by the supernatural power of God being released, because his people are exercising the authority that he's given them because they have the faith to exercise that authority. Now, let me just tell you something about... Are you still with me, all right? I'm enjoying myself up here, but we're actually talking about some very deep things. Now, you see, how does this faith business operate? Well, I said to you last week, faith is just exceedingly simple. You choose to believe what God says rather than what you think. It's not too complicated. It's just that you recognize that God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts and his ways are greater than your ways. So if this is what God says, well, it must be right. Now, there's two levels at which we have to exercise faith. We have to exercise faith personally, but we also, as the church, have to exercise faith corporately. What happens personally will be largely the result of the personal faith that God is developing in your life. What happens corporately will be the result of the corporate faith that God is developing in us as a body. And it's very important, therefore, especially, that the corporate leadership is leading by faith. That the decisions they make are faith decisions because they're listening to what God says. And often what God says will be unreasonable, not rational. Why? Because he wants his supernatural kingdom to advance. This is why Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. You see, what is our temptation? Our temptation is we want to sort everything out first, and then we'll talk about kingdom advance. And God says, no, no, no. Kingdom advance, then everything will be sorted out. Get your focus. See, God says, get your focus where my focus is. My focus is on extending my kingdom. Not just in sorting out a whole lot of minutiae, all these details. You seek first my kingdom and the advance of my kingdom. Living in right relationship with me by faith, exercising your authority. And you just see everything else will be added to you. I said everything else will be added to you. And as we do that corporately, everything will be added to us corporately. So we have a great responsibility, of course, to ourselves and to God to live by faith at a personal level. But we have a responsibility to the whole body that we're living by faith corporately so that God's purposes for kingdom faith can be fulfilled. Now, God wants this to be a time of advance for the whole of kingdom faith. He said to me so many encouraging things about kingdom faith in the last few weeks as I've been, you know, God's been speaking to me about all this stuff. About his plans, his purposes, and what he's going to cause to happen in the coming weeks and months. This isn't the time to go into all those details. But you see, for all that to happen, we've got to get his mindset. His mindset is advance. Advance. Now, you see, you look at yourself and you won't advance. I can assure you, you look at yourself and you'll see all kinds of reasons why you think you can't advance in the purposes of God. You say, oh, well, there's this and this needs sorting out and the enemy's having to go here and there's this oppression, there's this heaviness and there's this sickness and there's... And you see, you can spend all your time praying about those issues instead of the kingdom advance. And God says, no, 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 focus on the kingdom advance and I'll sort all those things out. Okay, now, there's so much more I wanted to share with you that obviously there isn't going to be time to do this morning. But let's just draw this together with this. The enemy is absolutely opposed to kingdom advance. That's why he'll do anything to get your focus on yourself and your circumstances or on the circumstances of kingdom faith instead of on God's purpose. Now, why does God want you to be a witness out in the world so the kingdom can advance? Why is God prepared to heal the sick when you lay hands on them as you prayed last week? Because the kingdom will advance. Why? It's a supernatural kingdom. Whenever the power is released, the kingdom will advance. Now listen to me, my friends. Listen. It will not advance through talking. Paul says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It will not advance through reason, through talking, through all our planning. It will only advance through power. Why do you think Jesus performed all those miracles when he was on earth? Because he knew the kingdom of God could only be established supernaturally by the supernatural power of God being manifested. Why, when he appeared to them in his risen body, one of the last things he said to the disciples before he returned to heaven was, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence, and you will be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why in the Acts of the Apostles do we see that the kingdom of God was advancing through power. The word of God was spreading through power. Why in chapter 4 were they praying all over again that, Lord, we need to see your hand stretched out to heal? Well, they'd just seen the healing of the cripple at the temple gate. I mean, that was a good one. That stirred up the whole of Jerusalem. And what was their attitude? Lord, the opposition is increasing, so the power needs to increase. We need to see you working more and more in power, because the enemy's opposition to the kingdom is increasing, so we must see more power. Now, I don't know about you, but if I look at the circumstances of what is going on spiritually in this nation, the opposition to the kingdom is increasing. Wonderful, because that means God is ready to increase the power. Amen. Who is he going to increase the power through? The one who's sitting on your seat. And others like you. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's put the kingdom within you. He's given you the authority over all the power of the evil one so that nothing will harm you. He's given you the spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Just turn very quickly to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, you know, the spiritual armor. People misunderstand this so readily because they concentrate on the helmet and the belt and the breastplate and... I mean, those are just analogies. It's what they represent that gives us the victory. Oh, verse 13. Oh, well, we better go back and read from verse 10. Above all, be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord, on his might and power. Are you hearing this? You see, this is Paul saying, this is what you've got to depend upon, his might and power. If you're going to see the purposes of God in your life, if you're going to see the kingdom of God advance in your life and through your life in the lives of others and in the nation, you have to depend upon his power. Amen. So what does God want to release in your life every day? His power. Above all, be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord, on his might and power. He has provided his protection for you in several ways. Clothed with his gifts and resources, you will be able to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. If you stand up against him, what does he do? He flees. Oh, your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them. Against the spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. They are in league with those evil spiritual forces that exist outside the world. The works of the enemy in this world are being controlled by the spirits that are outside of this world. But we have the victory over them. Oh, hallelujah. So accept everything God has made available to you to enable you to stand steadfast when evil attacks. Whatever form, temptation, oppression, depression, disturbing your peace, sickness, fear, doubt, sense of inadequacy, whatever it is, you have the victory. Doesn't matter what form the attack takes. You've got the victory. It's not a question of saying, Lord, heal me. It's, thank you, Lord, I've got the victory over this sickness. And this sickness cannot prevail. This sickness cannot win because I have the victory by your gracious gift. Hallelujah. So accept everything God has made available to you to enable you to stand steadfast when evil attacks. Yes, no matter what happens, you are able to stand firm and to remain standing. He can't knock you down. You stand firm with his truth, like a belt. I mean, never mind the belt. He's talking about the truth. The focus is on the truth, not the belt. You know, people say, oh, I never get out of bed until I put on all my armor. Listen, it's... I mean, that's just about the most stupid kind of thinking you could ever imagine. What did you take your armor off for when you went to bed? Did you take righteousness off? Did you take faith off? Did you take the gospel off when you went to bed? Oh, I've got to put the gospel on again this morning. Put my shoes on, put the gospel on. Come on, it's crazy thinking. That's not what Paul is talking about. I heard somebody talk about that once. So you stand firm with his truth like a belt to keep around your waist for support. The truth will always support you. That's what he's saying. His righteousness like a breastplate that protects you. His righteousness is your protection. Why? Because the enemy has got no answer to righteousness. Because he's unrighteous. You wear the shoes of the gospel so that you're always ready for every eventuality and can walk in peace. I'm always ready. Why? Because I never take my shoes off when I go to bed. Spiritually. Your faith is like a shield. You see, if we're living by faith, the enemy can't get through the shield. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you put your defense down and boom, one of those fiery darts hits you. Then you've got to get rid of it. But that's okay because you have the power and authority to do that. Yes. Your faith is like a shield that you have to take hold of and that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. I mean, some of you are getting it. Others of you are sort of looking them. I don't like all this talk about the devil. Well, defeat him, then you won't need it. Amen. Overcome him, and then you can just rejoice. Yes. The assurance of your salvation is like a protective helmet. Why does Paul liken salvation to a helmet? Because the helmet covers the head where your brain is, presumably. So, the assurance of your salvation, of your acceptance, counteracts all the lies that the enemy would sow into your thinking. Everything to undermine your confidence in Christ. Everything that would oppose your faith in your thinking. No, I have the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. I'm totally saved. I'm forever saved. Amen. I'm made acceptable to God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's a work of his mercy and grace. That's it. You have not only a defensive shield, but an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. I mean, you go, you know, you lop off a few demons' heads. Amen. With the word of God. I love head lopping. I mean, if any of these demons dare to come, go on, get out of it. It's nice to have something that you can do that to, because there's that aggressive part in every one of us. I'm coming to that. Why has God made you with the capacity to be aggressive? Because if you're going to overcome the enemy, you have to be aggressive. Because he is. And it's no use just saying, "Oh, go away, Satan." Or, you know, you go to your pastor. The enemy's having such a go at me. I feel so sort of heavy and depressed. Well, what have you been doing about it? You should have been lopping heads off those demons that he was using to come against you. Amen. Sword of the Spirit. Get out. Listen, it works. I've been doing it for years. Whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with his life and power, no matter what you are asking of God. How important to pray in the Spirit continually for all your fellow believers. Listen, we must pray together, but listen. It's not fashionable to believe in the devil. In the church, generally. Not this church. We believe the word of God. But in many churches, people don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in demons. They don't believe in the reality of what we've been talking about this morning. No wonder there's so little power, so little evidence of God's presence in such places. I don't see that in judgment. I say it in sorrow that they don't have the revelation of the truth. Now, that's usually because people have chosen to believe reason or just religion. They've been brought up in a religious lifestyle rather than a faith lifestyle. So I don't judge any of them. I spent my lifetime ministering to such people to bring them into the reality of faith. Praise God, I've seen thousands and thousands of them saved in the process because there are so many people in those churches that have not known the salvation of God. We're about to have a visit from a certain gentleman from a northern part of Italy. And there's going to be a whole lot of religious focus in this country. Well, okay, let's use that as an opportunity to preach the truth. Not to get all caught up in some religious fervor. Amen? But that's not our main focus now. Our main focus now is the victory that is on the inside of you and that needs to be expressed. So is anybody in a victorious mood? Now every mouth should have answered then. Is anybody in a victorious mood? Come on, let's stand up then. Hallelujah. We just have a few minutes. Actually, we've got hours. But we'll only spend a few minutes now exercising that authority. I want you just, first of all, to close your eyes and to thank the Lord for the authority that He's given you. Paul is talking to the whole church when he's writing to Corinth. And he's saying, we have this divine power. We have this authority. So thank the Lord that you have that divine power. It's not a human power. It's not a worldly power. It's a divine power. It's God power. Hallelujah. Thank Him that that power has given you spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons, supernatural weapons. Now thank Him that those weapons are more powerful than the devil. They're more powerful than any work of the devil. They are the weapons that enable you to overcome the devil, to overcome anything and everything that comes against you, so that instead of being restricted and inhibited, the kingdom will advance in your life. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Now, thank Him, first of all, that those weapons have the power to pull down to demolish every rational argument that opposes the walk of faith. Come on, you now are going to take authority over your own thinking. Your mind is not a play area for the devil. It's your mind, And you have the responsibility only to allow into your thinking that which is good and right and wholesome and belongs to the truth. When the enemy attacks with something that is not the truth, you take the shield of faith and you say, no, 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 no. I will not receive any thought of doubt, of unbelief in the Word of God, in the promises of God, in the Spirit of God. I say no to every wrong thought. I say no just to every rational thought that actually opposes releasing the supernatural of God into my circumstances. I will not be limited by my own thinking. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord now. Are you determined about this? Are you determined about this? Is there a determination there in your spirit? Are you saying, I will not allow anything that is not of God into my thinking? Come on, say, I am a man or a woman of faith. I'm not a man or a woman of doubt. I'm not a man or a woman just of natural thinking like they have in the world. I am a man or woman of faith. I will think faith thoughts. I will think the Word of God. I'm going to feed on the truth. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep thinking. I'm going to keep focusing on the truth. I'm going to keep filling my mind with the truth. I'm going to keep reading the truth. I'm going to keep speaking and confessing the truth over my life, over my feelings, over my emotions, over my circumstances, over the enemy, over everything that comes against me. I'm going to be like Jesus. Whenever the enemy attacks, I'm going to say, it is written. Come on. Come on, thank Him. Thank Him for a renewed mind. Oh, Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are operating in every person in this room, that You want to bring us through to a place of renewed minds so that we know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Come on now. If you're determined, you're doing business now. Right now, if there's been any wrong area of thinking, any of that doubt, any focusing upon yourself, just ask the Lord for His forgiveness quickly. Because you ask for forgiveness quickly and He gives forgiveness quickly. You make it a prolonged thing and He'll make it a prolonged thing. But you just be very quick now and say, Lord, forgive me for listening to myself, listening to my doubts, listening to my fears, listening to my feelings, listening to my circumstances, listening even sometimes to the enemy, listening to others who oppose the truth. Thank You, Lord, that You forgive me. Thank You that You cleanse my thinking by the power of Your blood this morning. Thank You, Lord, for a renewed mind. Thank You, Lord, for new thought forms. Thank You for new way of thinking, Lord. Thank You that my faith is going to be enlarged, that I'm going to have thinking that encompasses the supernatural. That, Lord, Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, but I thank You, Lord, that You're going to increase the capacity of my thinking so that I am able to receive more and more of Your thoughts and to express more and more of Your thoughts in my thinking. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Bless You, Jesus. I give You glory. Puparazata bakarazitoba. Now, when the enemy attacks, he tries to get you to think there's going to be a negative outcome. Now, we're going to stand against all the attacks of the enemy in a moment. But first of all, we're going to say we will not believe any of the devil's lies. We will not believe what he says the outcome will be. We believe what God promises the outcome will be, because Jesus Christ is the yes and the amen to all the promises of God. And there's a great yes inside of me to believe the promises, not to believe the lies of the enemy.
Hallelujah. So we serve notice on you, Satan, and all your works, that the outcome will be as our God has said, not as you have decreed. Hallelujah. 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 We're living in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in the victory of His blood. We're living in the victory of the cross. The outcome will be what He has decreed, what He has made possible, not what you say. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, faith is rising now. Faith is rising now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why pray in tongues? Because that's supernatural. Yes, yes, yes. Now, when you speak in a tongue, you speak to God. You're praising Him for the victory. You don't speak to the enemy in tongues. You speak to God in tongues. You praise Him for the victory that He gives you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We glory in your wonderful name. Glory in your wonderful name. Oh, okay. Now just be still for a moment. Just keep your eyes closed so your focus is on the Lord. Now, I just want you to think for a moment, because God has given you your reason to use in the right way, not the wrong way to undermine faith, but the right way to release faith. Now, how has the enemy been coming against you personally? Because you're going to take the sword of the Spirit now. You're going to lop a few demons' heads off. You're going to overcome whatever it is. Is it temptation? Okay, well, you've got the shield of faith and you've got the sword of the Spirit. We're going to overcome that temptation. Not going to yield to it. Stand firm against it so the enemy will flee. Is it accusation? Has he been accusing you, trying to undermine your faith and confidence? Has he been trying to destroy your peace by making you feel condemned instead of accepting the forgiveness of God? Has he been attacking you with a spirit of heaviness? And you've prayed and prayed and prayed about this heaviness and wondered why it hasn't gone. Well, it hasn't gone because you haven't exercised authority over the enemy that's caused it. But that spirit of heaviness is going to lift off of you. Somebody who was visiting last week gave me a wonderful testimony of what happened when she was prayed for in the meeting. How everything that had been oppressing her was sort of just came off her and got pressed into the ground beneath her, and she was just completely free and liberated. God's going to do stuff like that in the next couple of minutes. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Come on, Father. Come on, Holy One. Come on, Master. Is it sickness? Is that how the enemy has been attacking? I mean, you don't have to say the devil caused or anything like that. Just say, well, look, this is an attack on my health. And God wants me to have the victory over this attack on my health. God's purpose for me is health, wholeness. I don't have to wonder whether God wants to heal me. His purpose is health. I don't even have to ask the question, do you want to heal me? He wants you to exercise authority over the sickness. To command the sickness. Now, we can do that together now, but the important thing is you've got that determination, you've got that perseverance. Sometimes when you come against the sickness, it goes immediately. The oppression lifts immediately. Sometimes there's a battle. Sometimes you have to persevere in that determination. Why does it work one way sometimes and another way at other times? Well, I don't know, because it's worked both ways in my life. But I think that what God wants to do is to teach us determination. He wants to teach us perseverance. He taught the parable in Luke 18. Just before the parable, it says that Jesus taught them this parable to teach them that they should always pray, to persevere in prayer, and not give up. We don't give up and just accept the situation, accept the circumstances. No, no, no. We come right against whatever has come against us. God has not given you what comes against you. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God isn't against you. God is for you. So are you ready? Just say this after me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I confess the truth of His word over my life, that God is for me, that He died on the cross for my full salvation, which means my full healing of spirit, soul, and body. I take authority over everything that has come against me to try to destroy my sense of well-being. Every spiritual opposition, everything that comes against my soul, every sickness that tries to afflict my body. And I proclaim openly that my faith is in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I now come against with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I come against everything that has come against me. And I proclaim the victory of Jesus. That now the enemy is under my feet. Because I am saved, I am a child of God, and he is not saved, and he is not a child of God. And I have victory over him now. I have victory over him every day of my life. I'm living in victory. I'm walking in victory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on. Now just pray once more. Heavenly Father, I commit myself to kingdom advance. Thank you that you have called me, that you have chosen me to be part of your kingdom, and you put that kingdom within me. And I live, Lord, to see your kingdom advance. And thank you that that kingdom is going to advance through me as I exercise the authority and the power that you have given me. Lord, I believe that somehow this week your kingdom is going to advance in my life and in the lives of others I touch. Things are going to happen as I exercise authority and use the power that you have made available to me. And thank you, Lord, for the sensitivity of your Holy Spirit, so that I will know how to operate in every situation. And I give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.